Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
My next guest is on the line. He is Dr. Ron Schleifer. He is an Israeli expert on information and psychological warfare and military media relations, and thought he would have a really interesting contribution to make on our discussions as to what happened and transpired in Bondi on the 15th. Dr. Schleifer, thank you for being with us on Chai FM, and looking forward to our discussion this morning.
Okay. Morning, Simon. How can I help?
You can help by talking to me about what, from your perspective, makes the Bondi beach attack such a significant event in terms of psychological warfare.
Okay. The first thing that we should understand is that the anti-Semites have stepped up their operation. The first stage took about less than a year. That is to legitimize the anti-Semitism. So anti-Semitism is not the worst thing ever anymore. And just like, I don't know what, you look at like a sexual tendency or whatever. So now is I'm an anti-Semite. Yeah, that's okay. So now we're moving, they are the anti-Semites, that is Iran, Qatar, China, Russia, stepping up their operation, and now it's going on the violent stage. The purpose is to make Jews feel inconfident throughout the whole wide world. So if Jews of France are moving to Quebec, Jews in London are moving to Manchester, and Jews in New York are moving to Florida. The idea is to enhance this trend or this way of behavior, and make it unsafe globally, and not to mention Israel is not safe anymore after the after October 7th. The way to do it through what used to be called propaganda or psychological warfare. Now, psychological warfare essentially is not violence. So this is not psychological warfare per se. It's more like Soviet, the Marxist strategy of propaganda by deed, which is violent. And basically we're talking here about the use of terrorism. So terrorism is directed towards casual passers-by, citizens of the enemy, and to strike fear and make them look behind their backs all the time, and make them feel uncomfortable and unsafe. It's very, very difficult to live in such a way. And I can tell you that personally, as somebody who has lived through two intifadas in Jerusalem. So this is the idea, to make global Jewry uncomfortable, unsafe. And if, once a person is destabilized, so to speak, it's very difficult, very easy to influence such a group, a target audience. So this is where psychological warfare comes in. The idea is, first of all, is to drive a wedge between Israel and the Jewish diaspora, and in the Jewish diaspora and with their respective governments. The principle is called the shift from asset to liability. It is designed to make Israel weaker without the support of the Jewish diaspora, and the way to do it is to make the Jewish community weaker in the eyes of their respective governments. So it is in New York, or is it in Australia, or is it in the whole of the United States? which is progressing quickly, as we've seen. If New York has been the most strategic place of the Jewish presence, so after Mamdani, it's no longer the place. And the march of Australian politicians to somehow distance themselves from the Jewish community and support the Palestinians, support the state, support Islam, etc., is growing bigger and bigger, something which was inconceivable 10 years ago. But the Muslim Brotherhood are working on long term, and the democracies, including Israel and including the Jewish community, work in from one election to another, which not always last 4 years. So this is a disadvantage, and they are making a head start. And
I just want to understand what it is you're saying. Are you saying the end game of this Islamist terrorism is actually to drive a wedge between local Jewish communities and Israel? In that, are you saying that their support for Israel will be shaken and they will jump ship and support the other? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Is that proven? Absolutely. Is that the way Jewish communities react? Or does the resolve, in fact, to support Israel and Zionism become stronger? I'm just fascinated by this.
To weaken the support of the government of Israel by weakening the support and the contacts of the Jewish community, of the Jewish diaspora worldwide. It's driving a wedge, or divide and rule. It's a very ancient principle, and it works. Nobody could have imagined that Australia will become the place it has become, just as South Africa has been for 20, 25 years ago. It was a Jewish heaven. And the same principle is applied to South Africa. The move from Johannesburg to Cape Town, which is perceived at the moment a bit safer, and from Cape Town no longer to Australia. So where else? Canada is not so great. London, as it was perceived, is definitely out. So where should we go? So we all are biting our fingernails. And this is the purpose, and this is how it works. So what is left? Israel? So the Islamists are having a party, because Islamists all over the globe are convinced that this is a very good thing, that all Jews will move to Israel. This will be much easier to erase Judaism or erase the Jews from the planet if they are all concentrated in one place. The evangelicals have the same interest for a completely different reason. They want religiously to have all the Jewish people concentrated in Israel. And naturally, the Zionists want all Jews to live in Israel, because this is the Zionist dream of all the Jews living in one state. So we see here as a very strange combination of interests, all for all completely different reasons. Even many Israelis, when they hear about the problems of the Jewish diaspora, the first reaction is, make Aliyah, and that's it. So what's the problem? And they don't realize the immense power that Israel draws from a Jewish diaspora that can promote the interest of Israel globally. And so this is why Islam and other elements like China or Russia are fighting on the back of the Jewish people their global interests. And this is the end. I can tell you that the age of putting one guard with a radio and a flashlight on the entrance of Schulz all around the world is over. The Jewish community has to rethink its security system. It's 100%. Totally.
No, 100%. Totally. Everything's on the table. Everything has to be re-examined, right? To carry arms.
Yes.
Do we arm ourselves? Everything's on the table. I want to talk about the psychological aspect of this. I have noticed an outpouring of sympathy in the media. It makes me think of Dara Horn's book, People Like Dead Jews. For today, we're okay. Tomorrow, I'm not so sure when we hit back.
Sure. Now what we see is a crisis management strategy on behalf of all the elements involved, except for the Jews, of course. And the Jewish community leadership also deals with crisis management, because what they need to do is to commit a symbolic harakiri in the city square, because they have so much mishandled the security threats in the past few years. I can tell you personally, I was touring South Africa a few months ago and speaking to the CSO in one place, which there was no progress afterwards. And the other place was not even interested in listening of what I have to say about psychological warfare and security. And this has also happened in Australia. They were simply not interested. So this is that's typical. The same thing in Israel. The IDF, the Shin Bet, were not interested in listening to all the warning signs. And this is what we received. And it's very difficult to make a change in your own perspective, because we have invested so much energy for so long, for so many years, in building this structure, or what we call the concept, or in Hebrew, conceptia. And then what? All these years we've been wrong, and only a tragedy as the Australian tragedy is starting to shake the foundations of what we believe. And I'm afraid there won't be any change. All the security organizations, CSO, CST, and all their counterparts. Will just increase awareness. They will a little bit tighten up for a week or two or a month or two, the operation, and then routine will come back the same as it was. I was in Switzerland last week, and I saw some the picking up of children. It was a joke. It was a joke, the way the security, two armed policemen were standing there chatting with the people around them. It was a joke. And I told them that was a week before Australia. So we all need to rethink our positions, but we need to know that the anti-Semites and their backers are behind that in order to make us feel insecure and inconfident. And we should fight back. This is the only message that I can say.
Dr. Schleifer, thank you for the wake-up call. I'm sure we will have part two again soon. Toda rabba lecha.
Bakasha.